May I welcome you to the conference room of the Spectrum Intelligence Agency?
Ah, well, thank you very much, Mr. World President. Good to see you've had some stairs put in at last.
Space General Peterson.
Hello, General.
Dr. Giardello.
How do you do, Doctor? And this is my good friend, Marina.
I think we're ready to begin.
Thank you, World President.
Ah, yes, begin with this week's randomizer, you mean. Although after last week's fiasco, I'm not sure I could trust it any further than I could throw it. However far that might be.
We anticipate something like 50 yards.
Oh, you've done the maths on that, have you? Okay, good.
Gentlemen, if you'll gather round.
Oh, and Marina, you of course too. Yes, thank you, Dr. Giardello. Well then, this is the randomizer.
Amazing. And it seems so easy to operate.
It is, General. Here, try it for yourself. Press this button.
That's it, General. Well done. I take it you're already familiar with the randomizer, Dr. Giardello.
The principle is simple. And with this knowledge, the rest was relatively easy.
Ah, okay. Well then, there's the printout.
And pull so.
That's it. And today we have Fireball XL5, Drama at Space City.
A positive result.
Yes, indeed. I do seem to remember it's a good one.
I think you've shown us a remarkable achievement.
Ah, thank you, World President. So, when can we watch it?
Immediately.
Sounds good.
Is a screen necessary?
Well, yes, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to see it, would we? You silly space general, you. So, we welcome back to the randomizer Fireball XL5 with Drama at Space City, or, as this opening might suggest, a completely different episode, The Doomed Planet. Because we are in fact opening with a clip from that episode. I guess this episode was running short in editing or something, and they just decided to stick a couple of minutes of old clips on here. It's a bit strange, especially to open the episode that way, but we see now there's a fade from that to...
This diary sure has some hair-raising sequences in it.
Steve reading his diary. And we now transition to quite a long clip from the Triads of all episodes, which we've already covered on the randomizer. And quite recently on the Gerry Anderson website, although I say recently, it's probably going to be about a month and a half at this point by the time you hear this, because I'm quite ahead of myself actually on the randomizer at the moment. You could see someone's taken the time to write up this diary, but on DVD you could never quite make out what it says. Now on Blu-ray, it's crystal clear. So I typed up, there's an article on the website, Steve Zodiac's diary. And someone's gone to such trouble to...
Animals are three times the size...
Not only to recount the events of the story, but to make it feel like Steve. You would think, if someone did this with a show now, they would say, you know, I think there's a joke in Dick Spanner, if you are reading this, you're not paying attention to the plot. But someone's really gone to a lot of time for this one filler scene to create Steve Zodiac's diary. And I love that the events of the Triads, you can see his diary entry, ends with the words...
Now a vacation.
Well, not that. That's the next day. But his diary entry for the Triads ends with the words, my athlete's foot is much better. I didn't know Steve was suffering from athlete's foot when I watched the Triads, but knowing that now, it helps make his efforts there all the more admirable. But yes, we've had 2 minutes of clips there. I guess it's only just to pad out an episode that was underrunning. And now they're off on vacation, Steve and Venus.
Welcome home.
And this is one of the things, this is one of the reasons I was really looking forward to seeing this episode come up, and I'm very happy that it has today, because it does a very interesting thing of essentially sidelining the three main characters.
Oh, Venus?
Steve and Venus are off on holiday. We will see them, but not for very long.
And don't forget, no calls unless it's really urgent.
We don't want to be in this episode. And Matt will spend most of it in bed. So we get to spend more time with the Space City characters, which is very nice. I do like when a sci-fi show takes time to sort of explore its own world and its own settings more. You know, some people, I think it's the same with Star Trek. I kind of like it when they stay on the Enterprise rather than go to a planet. I don't know what that says about
me. Martian crunches today from the superstore, so I can have the launching ramp to go with my Fireball XL5 model.
Which you can buy at all good stores, toy stores up and down the country right now, only for however much it was at the time.
Gee, Mom.
That's a bit of blatant product placement there for the show.
Now, Jonathan.
Although, interestingly, you know, they've reached that point now with XL5 that I guess maybe they didn't quite hit with Supercar, where they know the show is a merchandising success while they're making it. Anyway, Steve and Venus... have gone to...
Delicious chocolate, Uncle Hans. Just the thing after a long journey.
Uncle Hans's cabin.
Oh, it's such a pity, Madison.
Where are they? I think it might be Switzerland.
Chalet.
Ah, he works too hard, that one.
And Uncle Hans, with his... He's got a very big pipe. And I'm not sure what's in it. But yes, Matic is working on in his laboratory something which I'll be able to tell you about once we get past this shot of the sign saying do not disturb on the door. Oh, he's dismantled Robert. Oh, that's a bit of a grim image, seeing one of our regulars dismembered like that.
Those arm joint bushes. You sure were overdue for a service, Robert.
I suppose I should have asked you before I took your head and arms off.
Well, I hope I did the right thing having the Lazoon to stay with us while Steve and Venus are on vacation.
Oh, yeah, what could possibly go wrong with that idea?
With Eleanor, I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
Stick him up, Lazoon.
And, despite the fact that we're going to spend a lot of time this week with Jonathan Zero, one of the more...
No, Zuni, stick him up.
Well... More often seen Super Mario Nation child characters, unfortunately.
Jonathan and the Lazoon.
I like the exploration of the Zero family life in this episode because it's dysfunctional, bordering on...
Quiet. I am trying.
I don't know. It's a really... Of all the family... And it's rare because this is a complete family. Mother, father and son. And for this week only, a Lazoon.
Welcome.
But they're so... There's just... barely suppressed rage for each other.
She's sick, Wilbur.
She's always sick, your mother.
But what about Jonathan and the Lazoon?
Well, I can't take them with me, Wilbur. You'll have to look after them.
What?
And run a space city?
Okay, we're having... The two characters are having this conversation over the phone, by the way, on a split screen. I think Zero's screen might be a bit wider, but it's... I've discovered myself in video editing, it's hard to make a precise split screen and give both sides equal time, or equal space, I should say. Anyway, here's an interesting scene.
Well, it may not be super space speed, but it's good to be skating again.
I feel really relaxed for the first time in years.
Remember, I was on the Triads planet the other day with my athlete's foot. I hope this doesn't cause it to flare up again. Yeah, an ice skating scene, similar to the one in Stingray, but it... The one in Stingray, you've got to say, is far more accomplished, even though Uncle Hans is there watching them, puffing away on his pipe. But the skating in this does look quite convincing. The only thing I would say lets it down, again, in comparison to Stingray, is in Stingray, they were actually moving the legs. You know, I can remember like characters like Fisher sort of striding out, whereas these two are keeping their feet, you know, their legs firmly rigid. And while Steve and Venus are having their skating party in Space City, chaos reigns as Jonathan and Zuni, because of course Zero is looking after Zuni, run amok in the control room. Because I guess Space City doesn't have any babysitting staff. Ah, there's that shot. Zero takes Jonathan's balloons away from him and he gets carried off up to the ceiling. There's a lot of wacky comedy in this scene. But again, I do like, as I said... The fact that Jonathan Zero is in this episode quite a bit. He is an annoying character, as we can see there, he's drawn all over the control room. But A, his love for his dad is quite obvious, considering he's just written the word pop on the screen with a little stick figure of his dad. But I like the pairing of Jonathan and Zuni. It's an unusual combination, and it works quite well. I kind of wish we'd seen it in other episodes. This very precocious little boy and this very dopey alien. And lovely transition from chaos at Space City back to ice skating. At this point, you may be thinking, when's the plot going to arrive? Because it seems so far that we've just got characters kind of kicking back and either taking breaks or, you know, catching up on routine maintenance with Robert, as Matic is here. He's giving him an oil before he puts him in front of the XL5 simulator, flight simulator thingy.
Sir. Only Neutroni is non-operational.
Get the Neutroni engineers to fix it first thing in the morning.
Okay, sir.
Gee, Pop, can we go for a ride in Fireball now?
For the last time. No, Jonathan.
Oh, go on, Pop. Be a real boss guy.
No. And if you don't go and sit down, I'll break all the psychological rules for parents and belt you.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, Pop.
Some parents wouldn't
even threaten, they just do it.
Mom hadn't gone away.
Eh, you can say that again.
I hate you with every fiber of my being.
Spaceship, boy, is my pop in need of psychoanalysis.
Ah.
Wait till I tell the parent psychologist about him.
Whoa, is this a regular thing? You have a parent psychology meeting? What the hell's going on in the Zero household? I love it. They are so dysfunctional. It's beautiful.
Power A-OK.
Oh, dear. So anyway, they seem to be running some kind of tests on XL5. Surprisingly, for an episode that takes place largely in Space City, I don't think we see Jock this week.
Oh, welcome.
Of course, we have not Venus. That's not Venus. That's her annoying pet, Zuni, hanging around.
Full power.
And I'm looking at the episodes that the randomizer has selected here.
Cut full power. We don't want...
For XL5. And I think...
Full power, A-OK.
This is... hold on a second.
Power!
This is like... We've gone Granitoid Tanks, Dangerous Cargo, 1875, Robot Freighter Mystery, Drama at Space Cities. That's five episodes. We've done a five-episode block now of consecutive XL5 episodes, which is quite something. It shows we are getting through them.
Good power.
Good, Robert. I reckon your reactions were at least 3 seconds faster. And now that I've given you a good overhaul...
I'm sure you'll never blow your top ever again.
Ah, so, nighttime. I love that the control room is still total chaos.
That kid, like a human thruster pack.
Good thing we don't have to defend the Earth from alien invasion or something, because that could be unfortunate.
Oh.
God of Marmalade.
Yes, let's leave the dangerously unpredictable robot alone on XL5. Oh, of course, he's not alone. Matt's aboard.
Well, are you?
But it's time for bed.
Suppose I ought to take the sedative pills Venus prescribed.
I mean, she prescribed them 5 years ago. I haven't taken one yet, and it's not done me any harm.
You always tell when I'm telling a lie, even if it is a white one.
And here's an interesting shot.
Your dear mother, Eleanor.
Firstly, two adults in the same bed together. It's quite unusual for a Super Marionation show. But Zero is reading a book named Stargazing with a picture of Supercar on the front.
Or he needs a psychiatrist real bad.
Oh, nonsense, Wilbur.
Anyway, shall we try for another kid? Ah, yeah, why not? But then in the long shot of Zero and Eleanor, the Stargazing title has fallen off Zero's book and it is just Supercar. Also, here we are in Jonathan's room. He's got a model of Supercar. And I would have to assume that's some kind of leftover prop from the series. Very nice to see some nods to Supercar here. And an interesting set as Jonathan...
Come on, wake up, you lazy old...
...has snuck out to the launch ramp, XL5. And there's a map painting in the background. No, it's not a map painting. They've built a very small...
No.
...model set...
That's no good.
...to imply distant buildings and towers and things. And it doesn't quite come off because the perspective isn't really there... But at the same time, it kind of does work. It's an interesting kind of bold attempt to create
full power
a larger world.
Oh, welcome.
No, Zuni, full power. Oh, Zuni, you'll never make a space pilot.
Not like me, the best space pilot in the world, who's just dropped his XL5 toy. That is a plot point there. Yes, Jonathan and Zuni are sneaking aboard XL5 because why not? I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
Gee, isn't that great, Zuni?
Just like my psychiatrist said it would be. My psychiatrist, who I definitely go to, and don't just tell my pop that I went and then went down the arcade to play Spaceman.
He said it.
Hooray.
He said it.
He said full power.
Power.
In the presence of...
Power.
Full power.
Robert. Again, nothing could go wrong here. Oh, look, it went wrong.
Say, what's happening?
Oh, gee. Oh, this is swell. Oh. Oh, well. It gets rid of Jonathan and Zuni and Robert. Well, we'll miss Robert.
Robot! Stop, Robot! Please help!
Bull power! Bull power!
Zuni, you're not helping.
Power! Full power!
And this is an episode I remember I got on the tape trading network back in the day. I think it was from an 80s ITV recording. And it was just such a joy to see episodes that had never been released on VHS officially in the UK.
Emergency! Get me Commander Zero!
Oh, and this is where it all gets a bit tense and a bit dramatic.
Wilbur?
Oh, I thought they were in the same bed, but it looks like the Zeros are in two separate beds, pushed very close together.
Why, it's only the red alarm.
We're just being invaded, that's all.
Lieutenant 90 to Commander Zero. Lieutenant 90 to Commander Zero.
What is it, Lieutenant?
It's Fireball XL-5, sir. An unauthorized takeoff.
Oh, dear, all is not as it'll wait, Jonathan. I'd better go to him in case...
Unless we've been lucky enough to lose him through the night.
What shall I do, sir?
Call Fireball.
I love that. The commander of the space city and his sidekick. What do we do?
Yeah. Okay, I'll be right over, Lieutenant.
Jonathan. Jonathan, honey.
And Jonathan has, again, what looks like some kind of missile or a... another
John!
Spacecraft model in his room. Oh, they've done something to Eleanor's face there.
Eleanor!
Jonathan's gone!
She's never been the most attractive of puppets, but they...
Kidnapped!
They've made her look quite hideouser there. I think they've done something to her eyelids to make her look upset.
I said stop, robot!
Incorrect, Commander. Do not understand.
Well, this is another fine overhaul Matt's given Robert here. Doesn't understand the word stop.
Welcome home!
Aww. Oh, you're not helping.
Saying that, Zuni. Oh, if only I could remember the order Pop gave to stop the motors. Halt. Finish.
Finito! Comprende.
Commander, do not understand.
I'm sure we've heard Robert respond to the word stop before.
Oh, help. Help, Mom.
And of course, Matt's aboard, but because he's dosed up to the eyeballs with sleeping tablets, sleep tight tablets, as it says on the label, he's not going to be of any help. I guess Jonathan doesn't know he's aboard.
We'll be Fireball.
But it's going so fast.
It must be going at full power. Whoever is at the controls must be crazy.
So it's probably our son.
You think Jonathan's on board?
She came to the same conclusion.
After all.
Oh, maybe he is. Try not to worry, dear. If
we've got to ask ourselves is how attached are we really to our son?
Commander, one of the men has just found this.
Jonathan! Spaceship!
Where? Where was it found, Lieutenant?
The model he was holding earlier.
Right near the launching ramp, sir.
Okay, Lieutenant. Get XL-1 ready for takeoff.
Yay, XL-1 time.
Jonathan, baby!
Shut up! I'm glad that they're not going to take Eleanor with them on this rescue mission. But I do really like, John Bluthal's shift in performance from, it'll be okay, to this sort of, it's not going to be okay, is it? Tone of voice when he realises it's really Jonathan who's on XL-5. And again, it's a lovely, very believable side to the character that we've seen throughout the show. He's a very grumpy, very cantankerous commander. And you would think with his family, maybe he'd be softer. No, if anything, he's even worse. But when they are in serious danger, you will not stop him from saving his son. So,
Zuni
and Jonathan are searching the ship.
Oh, welcome.
Finding no one aboard. At least no one who will answer them.
You go home now, Eleanor, just in case he should show up in Space City.
I'm tired of looking at your ugly mug.
If you say so.
That's the wrong way, Eleanor. The door's over there. You're walking towards a wall. Oh, well.
Oh, sad music there.
So here we are on XL-1. This is good. And who's at the controls?
Well, who else is going to take the job?
Ready, Lieutenant?
XL-1 ready for takeoff as soon as we are, sir.
And who are we leaving in charge? The janitor, sir.
Full power!
This is great, though. I love seeing these two. I love the relationship between these two, and I especially love seeing them charging to the rescue together here aboard XL-1. It's just lovely. Ah, meanwhile, these two are still in the story.
A lot of skating to get in.
And this is a vacation?
Are you sure you...
With my athlete's foot?
To the village to get a newspaper, Steve.
No.
You can pick up my drugs on the way, Steve.
You won't look at a paper or TV or listen to the radio the whole time we're here.
Ah. Well, if there is any news, we shall hear it soon enough when we get back to Space City.
Unless we've been invaded by aliens again.
Very well.
Yeah.
Can't you get any more power? She'll blow up, sir. So will XL5 if we don't reach her soon.
Oh, yes, because there's now so much power being channeled into the engines that the needle is going into the danger zone.
Incorrect, command.
Jonathan still can't get through to Robert about stopping. Oh, dear. Robert is a dangerous liability.
Space control to XL1.
This is a nice shot here, though.
Blue.
Will do.
Of Eleanor just sat at home holding Jonathan's XL5 model.
Maximum speed.
Listening to the radio.
The engines must be white hot.
And then it cuts to the shot of Jonathan's empty bed, again with that model of supercar there. Oh. Yeah, considering we're just riding to the rescue of two characters that I don't like, this is very tense and exciting. And oh, there go the engines. Kablooey. Jonathan's knocked out.
XL1, XL5 power unit has stopped.
I don't like the sound of that.
I don't know who that guy is.
But sir! Fire boosters, I say. We haven't much time. Any risk is justified.
To save my son, who I hate. Wait, why are we doing this? All right, Robert. Yes, Robert's knocked out as well. Jonathan is thoroughly unconscious. Who does that leave to deal with the fire in the engine room? Help! Somehow he's managed to put on a fire extinguisher, and he knows how to operate it. It's Zuni.
Look at that smoke! She must have been on fire for hours. We better get over there right away.
Oh, it's so tense and it's so exciting. Oh, this is good stuff. Again, I really like when Anderson shows, and they don't do it too often, where they put a focus on characters who don't always get the spotlight. It's so nice that the main characters have just been sidelined totally in favour of the Zeros and 90 and Zuni this week. Well, maybe not Zuni. It's very nice. It's very welcome. And smoke just pouring out of every opening to XL5. Every room is full of smoke. Needless to say, Zero and 90 bored with no oxygen masks or anything because, you know, they've had their oxygen pill.
Still alive.
Oh, damn. I mean, good, good.
How did it go out?
Over here, sir. The lazoon and the ray extinguisher.
Oh.
That loopy lazoon. He must have more sense than I thought.
To put out the fire that he himself caused in the first place.
A real boss welcome home, eh, Venus? Well, that's the last time we leave Space City for a vacation.
Where's Fireball now?
The commander is bringing her back.
And I think this shot of XL5 coming in to land on fire and then crashing, I think it's reused from another episode. I'm not sure which. I want to say either Spy in Space or Sabotage. They're both probably wrong. Someone will correct me, but I do like this shot
Retros.
Of XL5 just thudding to the ground when Zero's had enough of trying to land this thoroughly broken ship.
No power. That does it.
And he just lets it fall.
My spaceship.
It's brilliant. Again, it's a reused shot, but I think it fits better here.
Get off me, you wretched robot!
Ah, that's it. XL5 control room trashed. Robert's in Zero's lap. Matt's had a good night, though.
What a bore sleep. Best night I've had for years.
But Jonathan, honey, how did Fireball ever take off? I don't know, Mom.
I deny everything, Mom.
Welcome.
So, Zuni will not be put on trial for the crime of helping a child hijack a spaceship. Oh, dear. Anyway, that was Drama at Space City, and I suppose your tolerance for that one kind of depends on how accepting you are of child characters in Super Mario Nation shows and how willing you are to see any effort be made to rescue them. But I love that one. I think that's a really nice change of pace. Again, to have the main characters sidelined just for an episode in favour of Zero and 90 and then the rest is very refreshing. I kind of like the dynamic between Jonathan and Zuni, even though it just leads to nothing but trouble. So overall, yeah, my relationship with XL5 is I loved it as a kid, and then when the DVDs came out, I found it a bit of a harder watch. But doing it on the randomizer, watching, say, one episode every 6 months, I find that I'm enjoying this show far more than I have for a very long time. So Drama at Space City, for me at least, is another thoroughly enjoyable episode of XL5. I would be very interested to hear anyone else's thoughts on this, because I don't hear it mentioned enough. Yes, if you haven't checked this one out, go and give it a watch on Blu-ray.